Well, good evening. Good to see all of you here tonight, and I hope that you remember to pick up your song sheet. And if you didn't, maybe you can go get one. Anybody still need one tonight? Song sheet. It's got some pictures on the back of it tonight, so a little bit different. All right. Well, let's go ahead and begin now with first hymn, number 389. We'll stand as we sing, I Am Resolved, 389.
I am resolved no longer to linger, dark by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight.
If you would please to lead us in a word of prayer here.
Thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. We just thank you for the opportunity to come out and hear your word and serve you today. We just thank you, Lord, for the strength and help that you've given us each day this past week and this year. We just thank you, Lord, for keeping the virus away from us. We just pray for the ones who are not feeling well tonight. Help strengthen them. We just ask you to be a pastor. Be attentive to what he has for us to hear. We just thank you for this time and just thank you for prayer.
Amen. You may be seated. All right. Want to say welcome, especially to our live audience here. Those of you that are here in person, thank you for being here. And we also want to welcome our recording audience, those of you that are listening to this, not this evening live, but perhaps at another time, you're taking the time out to do that. Thank you so much, and thank you for joining with us. I also want to thank Isaac for playing the piano tonight, Isaac Wiley, and we also have Scott. Again, he's doing some training on the sound booth. We're trying to get a sound booth crew trained up, and today we've had Josh Ray working on that, and he's back there. So we appreciate that. And we're hoping to get several people that know how to do the sound function. And it does take a little bit of training. Of course, Scott's been doing it so long, it's just very easy for him. But there is some knowledge that needs to be passed on to others. And so we're trying to do that, get some people trained. And probably we're going to do this maybe even through the end of the year, just keep training different people on it. And maybe in the future we can add another dimension to that. Perhaps we can get the a live option together for those who could listen in live or watch live. And but first, we've got to get people trained on our sound system. We have good sound, thanks to Scott and his work putting it together. And we just need to get that good sound taken care of and piped in with perhaps a live option down the road. So that's what we're trying to do. Events that are coming up here. We are still trying to reach our community with the gospel packets we made up for the fair. Been doing that Wednesday nights. Encourage you to join us here 6:30 Wednesday night. We're going to be going out talking to people and going door to door, and we've been doing that with those packets. We're down to our last box. That box out there, that's all we've got left of those packets, and we really want to get those out as soon as we can. There's still a lot more people out there around the church. Even this is a rural area, but there are people out there, and we just got to go find them, drive to their houses, and talk to them. Tomorrow is the deadline to register to vote, so I hope you made sure that you have done that, and you can be prepared to register for the general election just 1 month away. And so I encourage you to register if you have not done so. Next Tuesday night at 7 p.m., October the 13th, is the ladies' meeting here at the church. The ladies are going to meet, and my wife is going to be giving the lesson she gave at the ladies' retreat. She's planning to do that, or at least some version of that anyway. But that's the plan. So ladies, hope you'll try to attend October the 13th. And then on October 30th, I'm going to try to have another fellowship. This is going to be a Friday night roundup. So that means this is only for the cowboys and the cowgirls. All right, nobody else can come? No, just kidding. Of course, it's for everybody. But this is for the cowpokes, and all ages are welcome to come. We'll have some vittles. We're going to have a vittle sign-up sheet here pretty soon, and so we can know what we're doing with that. And so come, bring your boots and hat, and we'll have a time of fellowship here at the church. We've been having fellowship outside, and we may have to go inside for this one, and so I'll say, you know, at your own risk as well. And so I know not everybody's comfortable with that, but we do have some that are, and so we'll try to do that. Some of our kids, young people, you know, they would like to do that too. So so that's the plan there. October the 30th, which I think is Mr. Ray's birthday. Is that right? All right. So I don't know if he'll be able to make it there or not, but that's his birthday. Also, it was good to have the prize here this morning, and I think they're planning to be here for the roundup. They're going to be, I think, working at camp some that last week in October, and he said that they would like to come to that. And Mr. Fry even had a good game idea for us outside, and so I said, all right, do it. You're in charge. Okay. So we'll see about that. I don't know. All right. I hope you take some more of the Who America Needs tracks. They're packed up in those packages, along with the Gospel of John. And this is a good tract for right now, because Who America Needs, our country's thinking about probably one of the two choices is really Who America Needs, but we're using that to encourage people to think about their need for Jesus Christ and this country's need for Jesus Christ. And so it's really a timely tract, and this is the time to get them out. And so take some and think about how you can give them out, maybe to your neighbors or to somebody else that needs to hear that message. Again, we understand that not everybody is able to come out to our services right now, and I'll say again, we miss you that haven't been able to be here. If you're listening, or if you're not listening, we still miss you. But just an encouragement to at least stay in touch by phone, by mail, by email. And we do have a copy of the church directory. It's been updated some, although, of course, as soon as you print it, it is out of date and things change. But take one of those if you don't have one, and do your best to try to stay in touch with people here in the church and give them a call. I don't think the virus is transmitted through the telephone wires. Or an email, something like that. But make sure you have one of those. And we've sent out those to our folks that don't have email and are not able to come out. So I hope that they have one. If they lost it, let me know. We'll get you another one. And there's also a PDF copy of that that's on the members page on the website if you lose track of something. But it's there. You can download that. And so, just encourage you about that. Whether you're staying in at home or here in person, try to do your best to reach out. And then this week, we're trying to notice our anniversaries and birthdays, but the Scheiderers anniversary is this week. And it's been good to see the Scheiderers. They were here last Sunday night, and I think the previous Sunday night. So we appreciate seeing them. We also appreciate Brenda's work. She continues to come and work in the flower beds around the church during the week. And so we really appreciate that. All right. I'll mention a few prayer requests. You might have some more that you would want to mention. The Staten family, neighbors here at the church behind us, just to the south, their niece, Leah Staten, was in a car accident yesterday. She was killed. So pray for the Staten family. her father preaches up at the Honey Creek, I think it's called Honey Creek Baptist Church in Belleville. And his name's Paul Staten. So pray for the Staten family. There's also another connection with the Maggards. Some of you might remember the Maggards who used to attend here, Pam Maggard, the girl that was killed, is her granddaughter. And so pray for that whole family as they go through this. I talked to the neighbor lady here this week, and she said Leah was a believer. And so they are glad about that she's with the Lord in heaven. So just pray for comfort for the Staten family. And then many of you remember Pastor Alan Griffith, who's been here to speak. His son, Craig Griffith, is also a pastor, and he has been diagnosed with cancer. And so Mickey DeWeese told me about that. She asked us to pray for his family, the Craig Griffith family. Also pray for Tom Evans. He's had another issue with his sight in his eye, and that has gotten a little worse. So just pray for healing for him. Of course, pray for our president and First Lady. They've tested positive for COVID, and so pray for their protection and recovery. Also, Pastor Chris Plow up at Maranatha Bible Church, his wife tested positive for COVID and has symptoms. She's a nurse at Marion General Hospital, and they are in quarantine. So just pray for her recovery. Dick and Teresa Poole are in Florida for 2 weeks, and so pray for safety for them. It's good to see Shirley here today. She made it back safely from Virginia, so praise the Lord for that. Nikki shared this morning that her brother Adam Miller has been attending church at Grace Bible Church there in Pennsylvania, so that's a real praise. They're still praying for his salvation, so pray for Adam Miller and his salvation. Sue told us this morning about Belisa Sherman, who got a good report after her cancer surgery. And she's had several surgeries, this friend of the Millers. Dan Wiley's boss, we prayed for him last week. Dave Metzger. He had masses in his brain. He had surgery this week, and he came through that. He's home now. All right, so we praise the Lord for that. Pray for his recovery. And then Scott's friend, Rick, we pray for him needing a valve replacement. He actually is going to need more further treatment with open heart surgery. So I'll just be in prayer for him. And then we heard from Crystal Smith today that Kurt's father passed away yesterday. His name was Bert Smith. And he had cancer, and Kurt had to make the decision to take him off life support. But he passed away. So pray for their family. They're going through the funeral arrangements right now, or today. I think they were meeting with the funeral director. So she asked us to pray. And then also Rob Frazier, wasn't feeling well today, so just pray for him to recover. So any other prayer requests you want to mention tonight? Yes, Debbie. All right, so Debbie's mom, Dolores Lehner, is in quarantine. Beautician there tested positive, so they're in quarantine. She's over at Marion. All right, anybody else tonight? Any prayer requests? Or testimonies? Testimonies as well. Take those. Any testimonies? Anybody tonight? Yes, Mrs. Wright.
I thank God for my Sunday school class. I have two in there, but today I had three, and we've been learning about Joshua, and then it switched over today to Joshua, and it was about the king wanting to capture Joshua, but it was about the invisible army, and so to tell you a little bit about the invisible, so sometimes it gets kind of heavy, and I was telling Alan when I was getting it ready that, you know, I just want to do a good job of getting it over tone. Well, I always know when I ask the questions how it's going, and the book always has three questions, but I have five questions, so I'm going to ask them, because we're on a roll. Because they really understood it, and it's just a blessing that they can pick up on that stuff, and it makes it fun to teach. And I'm just thankful for my class, and it seemed like they enjoyed it too.
All right, appreciate it. No wine use. All right. Appreciate Mrs. Ray and her faithfulness in teaching. All right. Anyone else tonight? Any other testimonies or prayer requests or anything you'd like to share tonight? Yes, Mrs. Gossman.
I was struck by the morning message of Christ relating to those unbelievers around him and how much it relates to popular word today is fake news. And I thought, you know, fake news was put back in the beginning with Christ. And here the lies that were spoken against him. And the way they could take whatever he said and make it something else. And he told them they were of their father, the devil. And the devil is the father of lies. And I thought it was the number one tactic that Satan uses against us is those that take lies against us and take partial truths and twist them into something else, and to realize there's nothing new. But Christ dealt with it, and he is there to reveal the truth.
Amen. Thank you. All right, anybody else tonight? We have an update here from one of our missionaries, Diana Boss. Just a short update from yesterday. She serves in Mexico, And she says, thank you for your prayers. We are now having regular services, for which I thank the Lord. Thank you for praying. The Children's Club has not resumed yet due to the pandemia. I think that may be a Spanish word thrown in there. Pandemia. I have to look that up. Pray with me that the club will be able to start up again in the Lord's time. Laura, my coworker, and I continue to visit and attend regular services. Also, we continue to have a weekly Bible study with Maria Juana. Pray for her spiritual growth. Also, continue to pray for Julia, a lady who made a profession of faith during visitation. Please pray we can visit her and have a Bible study. Continue to pray for safety and good health for Laura and me. Sincerely in Christ, Diana Boss. So it's good to hear they can finally at least get out and have services now. They're in Mexico. They were under some pretty strict restrictions. So praise the Lord for what's going on there. All right. Also, was going to share here, of course, prayer for our president. Today is a designated day of prayer, in our state anyway, for President Trump. And if you haven't heard the update on him, I thought I would share a little bit about that. This is from a news article today from Fox News, but it says this, President Trump could be released from the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center as soon as Monday. His medical team said in an update Sunday to members of the White House press pool, as the president continues his treatment on dexamethasone and Remdesivir to fight coronavirus. Dr. Sean Conley said Trump has experienced two episodes of transient drops in oxygen levels. From Thursday into Friday morning, Conley said Trump was doing well with mild symptoms and oxygen levels in the high 90s. By later Friday morning, the president had a high fever and his oxygen levels began dipping below 94%. At that point, Conley recommended supplemental oxygen treatment due to concerns about the possible rapid progression of the disease. Trump was adamant he did not need the treatment, but it was nevertheless administered for about an hour at the White House. He began showing milder symptoms, began moving about his residence at the White House, but despite these improvements, Conley said the medical team determined the best course of action was to transfer Trump to the Walter Reed in Bethesda, Maryland, by Friday afternoon for a more thorough evaluation and monitoring. Dr. Sean Dooley, a pulmonologist at Walter Reed, said the president has remained without a fever since Friday morning and his cardiac, kidney, and liver functions are all still normal. He said Trump has not shown signs of shortness of breath and was walking around his medical unit without limitation or disability. So they're saying that maybe he could get out of the hospital tomorrow. So just pray for our president and his recovery. I've also shared some of the Morrow County health stats here. I'll do that again here. These are from September the 29th. These are the cumulative cases in Morrow County. There's been this is as of this past week, from the health department, 260 cases. Now that's cumulative, so that doesn't mean those are all sick right now, but that's the cumulative case number, 260 in Morrow County. And deaths, which is probably the most important number, I think, is still at two since the beginning. Two deaths. Then those that have recovered, 248 have recovered. Those that have not yet recovered, 10 in those numbers. So anyway, just give that to you. That's from the health department, and that's what they're saying about Morrow County right now. So, all right. Anybody else tonight? Any other testimonies or prayer requests? Anything you want to share tonight? Okay, well, let's take our song sheet again.
Let's go to 179, Holy Bible, Book 2. Let's all stand as we sing.
I invite you to take your Bible now and turn to Joshua chapter 8. Chapter 10, rather. Joshua chapter 10. That was John 8 this morning. Joshua 10 tonight. We have been in a series here in the book of Joshua. Last time we looked at the rescue of the Gibeonites. Joshua and Israel helped them. Even though they could have had a good opportunity to really be rid of them, they had deceived Israel. They made this covenant with them. Then they're coming to call for help. And Joshua does come to their aid and help them and rescues them. I want to give you a brief overview of Joshua just to remember where we've come from, where we're going. Remember that the book as a whole is about the taking of the land of Canaan. God had promised it to Israel, and Joshua is the book that tells us how that promise was fulfilled. And in chapters 1 through 5, we have the invasion of Canaan. Joshua was commissioned, the spies are sent out, the Jordan River is crossed. Remember, they cross that Jordan and then they stop. They set up these memorials, and they go through this time of spiritual preparation. But it was through that Canaan began to be invaded in those first five chapters. And then in chapters 6 through 12, which is the section that we're in right now, we have the actual conquest of Canaan. It began with the central campaign, which was the cities of Jericho and Ai. And then we're told about the southern campaign, which involved the cities of Gibeon and the cities that we're going to be looking at here tonight in chapter 10. And then in chapter 11, we will go to the northern campaign. After they conquer the south, they go up to the north. And there's a review of the victories in the remaining chapters in chapter 6 through 12. So we have the invasion of Canaan, chapters 1 through 5, the conquest of Canaan, chapters 6 through 12, and then you get to chapters 13 through 21, and what you have there is the division of the land of Canaan. We're told about how each tribe took a portion of the land and took it for their own, which section it was, and that's chapters 13 through 21, and then the conclusion of the book, chapters 22 through 24. But right now, we are in this conquest section, which is chapter 6 through 12, and we're looking at this southern campaign here in chapter 10. We saw last week the battle that took place at Gibeon. God displayed some miraculous things there. Remember the hailstones. God sent hailstones, and they were miraculous hailstones. They didn't kill any of the Israelite armies. They only killed the Amorites. And God helped his people there, gave them the victory. And then another miraculous thing was Joshua's prayer, and the sun and the moon stood still. And there seemed to have been a slowing down of the earth's rotation and a lengthening of that day, Joshua's long day. And that happened with the battle there at Gibeon, where Joshua was fighting the battle to help Gibeon, actually, because of the covenant he entered into. So what we're going to do tonight, this section may seem a little more tedious than others. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We're going to notice some of the main divisions, and then we'll look at a few lessons that we can learn from this. I will read the first portion of it here, beginning in verse 15. Joshua chapter 10, verse 15. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them, suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, excuse me, I don't think it's a virus, just a frog got stuck in there. Come on out. All right. right. Verse 20, and it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. They came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain unto this very day. All right, thank you for that glass of water. That's another part of the job back there. Fill up the water and bring it up. We see here in this passage how God gave the victory here in the south. We're told about three main areas where God gave the victory. First of all, the victory in the southern foothills. Gave you some pictures there on your song sheet. One is a map from the back. And you can see the route that they took from Gilgal was their camp. That was where the Israelites camped after they came into Canaan, across the Jordan. Then Gibeon is where they most recently fought this battle we looked at last time. God sent the miracle, the long day, the hailstones. And then down at Makeda, we have one of the cities of the foothills. The region of southern Palestine has mountains. And the entrance to those mountains are there at Makeda, and also Libna, and also Lachish and Eglon, as I understand it, would be considered some of the foothills. The entrance there to the mountains. But we're told about this victory, first of all, in those southern foothills, verses 15 to 35, describe those cities. And one of the notable things has to do with these kings. Remember the five kings that got together and decided they would attack Gibeon of all towns? They were mad at Gibeon because they had made peace with Israel, and so they decided they were going to attack him. Well, these kings ended up in this cave at Makeda, and perhaps they had agreed to meet back there at this cave. Maybe this was going to be sort of a bunker where they could meet back and plan their strategy. But however they got there, that cave became a prison. And Joshua said, lock him up. Roll that stone across the entrance to that cave. And then let's go finish this battle. And these kings were trapped there. And then we're told about the execution of those kings, told about what was done there. They were executed publicly. Notice verse 24 tells us what was done. The picture displays that, perhaps, what it looked like. Came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. They came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Now, don't try this at home, boys and girls. But this was a strategy that Joshua used, put your feet on the necks of your enemies. And, you know, it seems kind of cruel, barbaric to us, but these were enemies. These were the kings of some of these great cities. And they were about to meet their maker. These kings, you notice how God actually spared them for this moment of judgment, it seems. Remember, God sent these hailstones. God was using these hailstones, and they were killing soldiers from the other side. And yet, these kings were not killed during the hailstones. These kings, God had spared for this moment, just like he did with Pharaoh. Remember how Pharaoh escaped all of the plagues of Egypt? And God had a lesson to teach Pharaoh, and ultimately, he taught him that lesson where? At the Red Sea. He led him to that point. And the same is happening with these kings here. Notice that it became an encouragement for Israel. Verse 25, Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight." Joshua smote them, slew them, hanged them on five trees. This was an encouragement. This is something that it seems was designed to really boost the morale of the nation of Israel, of the soldiers. Look at what God did. These five great kings of these Canaanite cities, Israel had victory over. This was something that would have stuck in their minds. They saw it. They experienced it. Verse 25 should sound very familiar. We came to that. That's what God said to Joshua back in Joshua chapter 1. Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And so the kings are executed there, these Canaanite kings. And the city is destroyed, the city of Makeda. And then the rest of the chapter tells us the various victories. There in verses 29 to 30, we have the victory at Libna. You can see that on the map. They go from Makeda to Libna. Verse 30 says, "The Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof, into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword. And all the souls that were therein, he let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho." And then from there, we're told, they go to Lachish, verses 31 through the following verses there. And then on to Eglon. You can see on the map, verse 34, from Lachish, Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him. And then we come into the second major section, which is victory in the southern mountains. Victory in the southern mountains, verses 36 to 39. Notice verse 36. It says, "Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him unto Hebron." So they're going up, they're going into the mountains. These two cities are in the mountains now, into Hebron. I think on the map you can kind of see the elevation a little bit. But up into Hebron, and the Lord gives victory at Hebron. And then over to Debir, and the Lord gives victory to there at Debir. And then the third major section here in this chapter, verses 40 to 43, we have a summary of the victory. We have victory throughout all the south. Notice the summary, verse 40. "So Joshua smote all the country of the hills and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings, he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal." So we see the extent of their victory is described here. It was a complete victory in the south. Broad area is given, Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, large area. And those reasons are pointed out. First of all, the obedience of the Israelites. Verse 40, Joshua smote all the country of the hills. And he did all that, at the end of verse 40, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. But the other factor is there in verse 42. Because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. So we have these two things going on. The people's obedience and the Lord giving them the victory. So what can we learn from this passage? A few lessons. First of all, we see here in this passage the ultimate accountability to God of the rulers of the earth. The ultimate accountability to God of the rulers of the nations. You've got to remember that the Canaanites, from what we know about them, they were not really nice and moral people. They were immoral. They were sinful. They were wicked. And God had let this go on for many years, hundreds of years. But there came a point, and this was the time, God said, that's it, that's enough. You notice here how God singled out the kings. He singled out the authorities here to be held accountable. You know, the kings of the earth, the nations, the rulers of the nations, they do not have the right to do whatever it is they please. They are accountable to God. God gives them their authority, whether they acknowledge it or not. Can the leader of China, whatever his name is, Z or she, can he do whatever he wants? Well, he probably thinks he can. What about North Korea? The dictator there, will he be able to get away with whatever he wants to do, the atrocities to his people? Or what about the president of the United States or the governors of the states, what they choose to do? Are they going to be able to get away with it? You know, the Bible teaches us that those leaders are accountable to God. These kings, these leaders of cities, great cities in Canaan, God held them accountable in a special way. Psalm 2 speaks to this in a very direct way. Psalm 2 verse 1 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. You know, that's a warning even now to the kings of the earth. They're accountable to God. They're not going to get away with the things that they do. They think they can change God's morality and the way God has laid out things to be done, but they're not going to get away with it. Psalm 9, verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All the nations that forget God. That's what happened here with these cities there in Canaan. God held them accountable. The ultimate accountability to God of the kings, the rulers of the nations. Another lesson that we can see here is the need that God's people have for encouragement. The need that God's people have for encouragement. I think God must have known that His people needed this encouragement from time to time. You may not understand how could this be encouraging. But, you know, they were fighting the enemy here, and God did something really amazing. And it was an encouragement to God's people. And, you know, that God knew that perhaps they were going to feel like just quitting and not doing what he wanted them to do. And so he gave them some encouragement through Joshua here. Look at what God just did. Be amazed by that. Be encouraged by that. And I think God still is able to do that today. Sometimes, all of us, we get a little discouraged. And we think, should I keep doing what I'm doing? And God is able to give us some encouragement when we need it. One of the main ways, of course, is through his people. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You know, God wants us to exhort one another. And of course, in these days, it's been a little difficult to be able to do that. But there's other ways. And we need to recognize the importance we have of that ministry of encouraging one another. As I said this morning, you know, it's an encouragement to me just to see you come to church. It's a great encouragement. And I know that's the same thing for others as well. So if you're able to come, it's not that hard to be an encouragement. And I know you can do that. You go even above that, go beyond that in encouraging one another. And we see also the importance of obeying God's commands. Joshua and the people, they did not just sit back and do nothing. Joshua led the people to fight, to obey what God had told them to do. They were to go and to conquer the land. And you know, they didn't understand, I think, how... They didn't understand, you know, that what was going to happen. They just knew, here's what God said. Here's what we need to do. Let's try to obey what God says. And God blessed that. But that was important, that they obeyed what God said. God wants us to obey. God wants children to obey their parents. That's very important. Obey your mom and your dad. And we are to obey the instructions that God has given to us. And then we see a final lesson here. Remember the ultimate source of that victory. That was the Lord. The Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. We can't always see how it's going to work. The Lord tells us to do things. We think, how is this going to happen? How is this possible? But that's not up to us. It's not up to us to figure out what the end result is going to be. It's just up to us to obey what God tells us to do. And the scripture's full of examples where God comes in and he gives his blessing and he gives the victory as he did here in this passage. And we can expect and look for the ultimate source of victory. Being God. So may God help us to be encouraged to obey him and to expect that the victory will belong to him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you are God, that the kings of this earth are no threat to you. We pray for them. We lift up to you tonight our president. We pray that even now you'd help him to see his accountability to you. We pray that he would humble himself and call upon you to save him. Pray that for his wife. Pray for their recovery. We pray that you would protect him, those that work around him. And most of all, we pray that they would humble themselves before you, before it's too late. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be faithful to obey you. And we thank you that you are such a great God that encourages your people, and that is there to give your help and your power, your victory. We ask for that tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our song sheet now. We'll go to that last song, number 376. Take time to be holy. Let's stand as we sing together.